The powerful political and sexual images of MTV have captivated the generation. It tells the drama of the hood and its daily struggle for survival. Yet, it's a multi-million dollar music industry. Now, some say that it's just the latest fad for teenage rebellion, like the long hair of the 60s. Some say that our youth are simply experimenting with independence. Is concern over today's youth culture just a needless worry? Or is something else, something far more sinister at work? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss marketing evil.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Just as the military, scouts, and sports teams have uniforms, so does our youth culture. Uniforms normally symbolize values and loyalty to ideals. But today's culture seems to promote allegiance to defiant social, sexual, musical, and cultural world. A world that seems to be drawing millions of children into it. Welcome to Beyond Today, where we help you understand your future. To discuss this, I've invited two guests to join me. Marriage and family therapist Gary Antion and education administrator Dave Register. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, is it really fair to say that we're in a cultural battle? Is that overstating the issue?
Not a bit, Steve. We are in a cultural war, actually. The postmodern world has given us challenges that we can't imagine.
Now, the postmodern world, what do you mean when you say postmodern?
The modern world basically covered the bulk of the 20th century. But the postmodern world, according to most sociologists, began after the fall of the Berlin Wall, which made a greater globalization of the world. And today, particularly young people, have bought into this culture, which now basically is earmarked by no values. There's no absolutes. There's no law that guides your conscience, individualism, and feelings. If it feels good, then do it. And those are the earmarks of the culture that we find our children in today. And so, in a way, they're lost without a compass because they have no way to ground their thinking and all that they do in this culture today.
So then part of this battle is between those who still want rules and guidance and seek truth and those who are just kind of somewhere floating around in the middle.
They're headed in one direction, and yet I think we have, the traditionalists, the baby boomers, the older generations who were raised with these mores and morals that remind them of God's laws, that God's laws were based upon. And the younger generations are saying they're challenging the status quo of the moral standards we've lived on the last 60, 80 years.
Now, when we take that as a backdrop, how does economics then begin to play into this postmodern way of thinking?
Well, when the postmodernists are also can be known as secularists. They've come to accept that particular nomenclature as well. Secularists are those who believe in just living for the world now. It's what you have now. It's your experiences now. It's what things you've accumulated now. And therefore, the accumulation of goods and objects and experiences in life tend to be what move and motivate these individuals. There are, in our world, this conflict, this cultural battle goes with the liberals and the conservatives, each one. And we're not talking politically. We're talking about just liberal views and conservative views. Mm-hmm. They each are waging war against each other. And of course, the conservatives are trying to maintain, in the main, the ethics that come from Christianity and the Judeo-Christian tradition, as opposed to the liberals who are basically going down the path of postmodernism, as Dave has mentioned.
And so when we talk about economics and marketing, how does that point of view then affect how corporations market items? How does that fit with the way things are promoted and sold today?
Well, naturally, marketers are in the profit business. They represent corporations or themselves to make money. That's the bottom line. As we say, money is what makes the world go round. Mm-hmm. And, of course, these new millennials, they're called Generation Y, make up 88 million people in the United States. That's bigger than the boomer generation. So they've become a target for marketers, corporations, and they recognize that even teenagers today have disposable money to spend and income. And so they do target them. And they do recognize they're part of that postmodern culture. So they try to appeal to the base drives that these young people have.
So it's not a marketing based on principle necessarily. It's based on product and the type of attitude that...
It's also based on profit, and it's based on mm-hmm. principles you find in Scripture in 1 John 2:16 that talks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And marketers many times tap into those very desires and wants of individuals in order to capture their imagination and capture them as consumers of their particular items that they want to sell.
So it may not necessarily be good or evil in that sense, because which one came first? Is it the desire of the people that they're fulfilling, or how do corporations look at that when they face that dilemma of selling their products?
That's a good question, Steve, and it's a controversial question. It's come up very often, which came first, you know, the chicken or the egg? Mm-hmm. The proverbial argument is, do advertisers create fads? Do they create, you know, the new desires the young people have, or the market, per se? Or is it the market? Is it the young people that drive the advertisers? And personally, I lean towards the school of thought that says, well, marketers spend a great deal of money trying to find out where the mood of the people is, what do they want. And they have done a lot of research to find out what motivates the audience they're looking for, the market they're looking into, and then they target that particular audience. But again, it's money is the bottom line, and they're going to, particularly these younger people who have a lot of disposable income and who have these want lists. Mm-hmm. In other words, they've grown up in affluent families, and they grow expecting a certain number of items, physical goods, and they want that. And advertisers take advantage of those desires.
So in a sense, corporations are trying to read the minds of our mm-hmm. boomers or our younger generation as well. And I suppose that says something about the nature of mankind, that they're trying to get a window to
view. It certainly does. Young people especially are very impressionable. And they want to belong. They want so badly to belong to something. And therefore, it's easy for them to be reached. They don't want to be left out. They don't want to be the kid who doesn't have something. They don't want to be the kid who doesn't have the latest in this, that, or the other thing. And I remember as a young person growing up, I'd listen to all these ads on the radio because we didn't have TV at that time. Listen to radio listen, oh, you can send away and get this particular product. You know, write in and get it. And I would I'd eat as much cereal as I could every day to try to get the box tops because you needed so many box tops to send away to get your magic decoder ring. And always when I'd get, they always make it look better than it mm-hmm. really was. And then, too, I remember as a young person, were candy bars. Give us little and get as much as the idea today. Mm-hmm. But candy bars, folks, used to really fill the wrappers. Whatever the size wrapper, usually was the size of the candy bar. Today, big wrappers, little candy. And I think that the whole idea is give as little, get as much.
It is a different world. I mean, we've all heard the ads, haven't we? You can buy wealth, prosperity, financial freedom, and peace all for the rest of your life for only $19.99. You know, we have heard those things, and it's laughable, but yet sometimes we're taken in by that. In fact, is your life really working, or are you affected by society and marketing and media around you? We have a free booklet that you need to order. We hope you'll order this booklet. It's called Making Life Work. Is your life really working? Go online to our website, beyondtoday.tv. In fact, you can read this booklet immediately. We hope you will. Order it if you don't want to see it online, and you can get it sent right to your door. It'll help you with your life today. In fact, we're going to talk more about marketing and media right after this, so stay tuned.
In our fast-paced world, how do you hold on to life's most important things? Your relationships, your finances, even a positive state of mind. For step-by-step principles that always work, get a hold of your free copy of Making Life Work. It's full of timeless advice you need to succeed. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See the spiritual truths that work to always create lasting job and career success, that build healthy marriages and families, financial security, and a life full of friendships. Timeless principles for everybody. They always work. Get your free copy of Making Life Work now by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Nothing should stop you from making life work.
Are you looking for principles to help guide your life? We have a booklet called Making Life Work. There are keys to help you with a successful life. We hope you'll go online, beyondtoday.tv. You can get this booklet for free. It can be sent right to you, or you can read it right online. It will help guide your life in a way that will really be successful for you. So we hope you'll go on and order this booklet right now. In fact, we've been talking about marketing and media and how it affects our society, our kids today, for that matter. In fact, as you think about this topic, and we look at what marketing is all about, you may have found that, you know, you're watching TV and an ad comes on that you didn't even think you needed this item until you saw it in an ad. And then suddenly we think, we can't live without it. I've got to have this thing. Now, is that an overstatement? Am I overstating how powerful marketing can really be?
No, Steve, you're not. Marketing is the most powerful medium. As Gary said earlier, it appeals to our basic nature. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Those are principles that haven't changed for thousands of years. Those are the same basic drives that Satan appealed to in the Garden of Eden when he was tempting Adam and Eve. Those same basic drives today tempt our culture today.
So that hasn't changed at all. So in a sense, corporations have figured out how to appeal to that. They market right to that need.
It's not to say that every corporation that markets its product is doing it in a nasty or a wrong way. Mm-hmm. There are many corporations that have honorable leadership and try to deliver a product. And we know that why do you buy something is because you eventually want it or need it, and many times it's want and versus need. And there are legitimate corporations out there that truly do deliver what they say, but there are other ones out there that promise much and deliver little. And so they try to appeal to, as Dave was mentioning, man's nature to try to find out what he wants and to try to satisfy that want in a very enticing way.
I think a good example of that comes to my mind is you see the power of marketing every year at the Super Bowl time. How many different corporations come on, maybe ones you've never heard of, and suddenly they come on with these cute ads or interesting ways of presenting their products, and suddenly the public has to have them. And they have a way of getting right in there and appealing right to that perspective that we have. And so I suppose in a way that's got to factor in to how they market to our kids. How they picture our youth culture and how they want to market their products right to the children.
Because kids want to belong. Kids like to not be left out. They do not want to appear to be the geek. They don't want to be wearing that which is not popular. They don't typically want to be left out when someone has a new gadget. They want to have their gadget. They want to have their whatever is popular to be able to be doing it. When I was a kid, it was hula hoops. I had to have a hula hoop. Did I like a hula hoop? No. Why did I want a hula hoop? Because everybody else had hula hoops. Mm-hmm. And for teenagers, it's critical that they belong. And of course, they appeal to this belong. You need to belong. You need to be like your fellow teenagers. And so that is something that our young people are very impressionable. And at this time, they're still sorting out who they are. And so what they have sometimes can help them reflect on who they are, mm-hmm. but it really isn't. And so they appeal to this. You need to have this product. You need to get this.
Mm-hmm. They're impressionable, no doubt. And I suppose in today's society, they've got the money. Corporations know the kids have the cash these days to go and buy the stuff that the corporations promote. And so is it fair to say they focus the kids' attention maybe in ways that they can then sell those products? Is that what the media focuses on?
Yes, it is, Steve. Most of these children are products of what we call latchkey kids. Mm-hmm. They've been left in front of the TV far too long, in my opinion. They're accustomed to advertisers and advertising. And frankly, I think marketers are finding it more and more challenging with these millennials to get to them. In fact, they have learned recently that because these millennials are challenging authority or older people, they get more from their own peers. And so they're now going to what is called IMs, instant messaging. Right. So instead of the usual media, advertisers are losing this new generation, and they're trying new ways to advertise to them. They're actually hiring teenagers and young people to get online and to instant message or to get MySpace and other mediums to draw in this younger crowd. So even though the basic human nature of man is not changed, the methodology of getting to them is changing with this new generation.
Corporations have figured that out. And doesn't it put a different emphasis then, as far as the culture today? That youth culture has a different perspective then, don't they?
Yes, they do. It does depend on what you have, how you look, and our media and our advertisers are advertising. You need to look older. So younger girls are looking older.
Little girls
are dressing older. The sexualization of our children through what they see in the media.
Right.
And the appeal to the girls to look beautiful quicker.
Yeah,
instead of just being a girl, they're immediately pushing them up to young lady status. And for boys, the emphasis is on power and violence.
Mm-hmm.
And so they see this in video games. They see this on television. They see this in often the media sending out and emitting this type of information, which is not good for our young people, because our young people need to be having character and not things.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing, because that's exactly opposite of what the truth really is. God talks about don't judge by the appearance, is what he told Samuel when he went to find the next king of Israel, when he saw David. He wasn't supposed to look on the appearance of things. And boy, we judge just the opposite way today. And yet some people would say, well, okay, I understand that, but really, is it that big a concern? Is it that really that big a deal? You know, I want to let my child decide for themselves as they grow up. You see a danger in that?
It's critical, Steve, that young people don't fall prey to being drawn away in this whole cycle of advertising and pulled away and driven by these basic desires. There are studies about the millennials that indicate they do want values. They desperately want values. And, of course, we feel that the Bible offers these values. But they have to be very careful, because if they get under the spell of the deception of this culture, they could be drawn away. It says in James, the 4th chapter, that to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. And so they have to be very careful to make right choices, to learn how to discern between what is right and what is wrong, and to make those good choices.
And that is a difficult proposition today. It's hard to make right choices when we have so many wrong things, hitting us everywhere we look. In fact, there's an interesting passage in the Bible, Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Are we taken in by that? We're going to talk more about that and how we can be deceived by the media and by advertising when we get back. Stay with us.
We all need tools for our job, but we also need tools to just make life work. We need tools to build security and peace of mind. Blueprints of principles to love someone for a lifetime. Get your tools for making life work by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get tools and blueprints for making life work. In our age of spectacular discoveries in science, the miracle of life reveals astonishing truth you can read about regularly in the Good News magazine. As more mysteries of life are solved, put yourself in the positive big picture presented regularly in your free subscription to the Good News. Just call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for the Good News magazine.
When you go online and order our free literature today on beyondtoday.tv, you'll also receive a year's subscription free to the Good News magazine, a magazine of understanding, one that will help you understand your life according to the Bible. You need standards and principles to help guide you through the world today. This will help you understand news that's happening around the world in light of your Bible. So we hope you'll order your literature today and your subscription to the Good News magazine. Now, we've been talking about media and marketing, and some people actually say that media and marketing wolves are prowling all around for us, waiting for the opportunity to pounce on us with junk ads and misleading products and wrong values. We've been discussing this, and when you put it in that context, would you say that marketing and media are inherently evil?
I would say that marketing is not necessarily inherently evil. We're marketing today. We're trying to give people good news. We're trying to give free. We're trying to give people a message. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to advertise that message to them, that they might listen and they might read, that they might understand, mm-hmm. and that their lives may be enriched by that. So we couldn't say that all marketing is bad. Marketing tends to want to satisfy a consumer's wants. Mm-hmm. And I think Dave mentioned before, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Which one is inherently evil? Human beings have desires that many times go beyond what the Bible allows as far as values are concerned. So many times Christians or young people go beyond or individuals go beyond what they need to have. And their desires and their wants and their lusts are what the various companies and media are appealing to.
So it'd be wrong just to say all advertising, all media is bad.
That's true. The vehicle is not the problem. The problem, I believe, is the spirit behind it, mm-hmm. that is appealing to the basic human carnal nature. And that's what we need to be most aware of. In fact, the scriptures say in Ephesians 6 that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the prince of the power of the air. And we believe that to be the adversary, Satan the devil. I know you've had previous programs on him talking about this subject, that really that's where the blame belongs. It doesn't belong on the advertiser or the corporation in particular, although, as we've mentioned earlier, some of these people are way out of bounds, you know, in their target audience and the methodologies they use. But the real culprit here is Satan and his influence on the culture, on the society that we live in. And people have taken advantage of that.
So when we say there's a cultural war, it is accurate to say there's a real battle, a spiritual battle going on here, but it's not one between the corporations and marketing and media and the people. There's something a lot more deeper than that.
Well, it's who's stirring all this. The Bible identifies Satan the devil as the god of this world. It also, you hearken back to the scriptures in Isaiah about Lucifer, as well as in Ezekiel 28 that talks about how he was created perfect, how he fell, how he's the one who fell away from God. He wanted to take over the throne of God. He was the one who wanted to get as much and give as little. And God had to trim him down to size, but he's still the god of this world. For the moment. And he's the one who influences mm-hmm. the practices of many of the organizations that we have in this society.
That reminds me, Revelation 12:9, isn't that where it says he's deceived not just a little bit, not just one or two people, not one or two corporations, but the whole world lies under his sway. And so imagine the power that's behind that and the influence, certainly one that could affect marketing and people's perception of those things as well.
And it affects the music world. It affects how the words in the music oftentimes are so bad, that the types of rap that there is, the gangster rap type that basically encourages people to use foul words, use rebellion against society, against leadership, against government, and so on. So we end up having a lot of that out there because of the evil influences that there are in this world. And they're subtle, to be sure. Mm-hmm. They're subtle.
And that matches right with what Scripture talks about, that influence, that prince of the power of the air. In fact, that reminded me of a RAND study that I had read recently that talked about the influence. And you think about TV, and you think about movies, you think about the internet and all those effects. It said the most influential on our kids and our teens is music, which you might think that would be in the background more, but it's right up there at the top. It's one of the most influential things on our kids today.
It is true that in the media today, we have a basis that challenges set morals, set authority, and establishment. Recently in a class, this is a religious class, I had a young Christian man challenge me on what you might consider a basic law of God. You know, is fornication okay? I explained to him the scriptures, and he still said, well, that's your opinion.
Boy,
my opinion is far different. And I found that remarkable in that context.
Boy, that illustrates that cultural war, doesn't
well,
it?
Certainly, right. in the view that many have in this day and age that they're grown up in, where they're told that they're the ones that establish their own values. So if you say anything that's absolute, or you teach something that's absolute fact to them, they will say that's your perspective. Well, it's not really my perspective. It's a fact of life. But it becomes your perspective when they want to make their own values. And so our culture, our media presentations all have a lot to do with, because media tends to be heavily liberal and drawing people down that liberal path, which is leaving God behind.
Now, if we want to remedy that, if we're going to find a real solution, where do we point people to really find the answer to that?
Steve, I think the first thing is the example of the parents. Do the parents in front of their children allow themselves to be drawn in and sucked in by media and even advertisers and become part of that consumer culture? Mm-hmm. Or do they establish sound values for their children? And then the second area, I think, has to do with limiting our children and counseling them, directing them, disciplining them, not to be drawn into this culture so much, and trying to balance that out. You know, we have a problem today with young people that are, well, the millennials are marked by MP3 players and flip-flops. Mm-hmm. And that indicates their kind of relaxed nature and also the fact that they're a plugged-in culture.
Right.
And we need to encourage our children to read, to investigate, and to give them these pegs of moral discipline, like the values that God's law can give them.
They've got to get to the truth, don't they? That's where the parents have to start. Getting to the truth.
The truth is certainly in the Bible. And John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." For parents to become schooled in the word of God, to have a knowledge of what is right and wrong, and there is a way to know what's right and wrong, despite what postmodernists or secularists think, the Bible does reveal it, and it's God who inspired the Bible to be written for us. Our children need to be taught so that they may be prudent. In Proverbs 27, it talks about the prudent avoids the evil, foresees it and avoids it. We need to teach our children how to discern between that which is good for them, that which is a need, and that which is a want or a lust. And it's not that wants are wrong, but if wants are used in a wrong way, if they are used to counter established values, then they are wrong. So we need to be teaching our children to learn to say no and helping them to have the wisdom to do so.
So if you're going to make life work, you've got to start at the principles. You've got to start at the basics, and that's the truth of your Bible. We'll wrap things up right after this. Stay tuned.
Success in life comes down to the spiritual choices you make or don't make, the decisions that make life work or don't make it work. Like most people, you try to think about your life to improve it. That's why you should call toll-free right now, 1-888-886-8632, or go online for Making Life Work, a stunning free publication. That's 1-888-886-8632, or going online to beyondtoday.tv.
We can't escape the evils of marketing. We're confronted by ads everywhere we go. No wonder parents face huge problems in keeping their children free from corruption. Concern over today's youth is not a needless worry. It's a critical problem. It's the job of parents, not corporations, not regulators or politicians, to guard what influences our kids. We cannot allow marketing tactics or advertising campaigns or media to wrongly influence our children. We need to set a higher standard, one that's based on the Word of God. Dave and Gary, thanks for being guests today. When you're looking to understand your future, remember this program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.